This Sunday, I have two readings as usual for you. The first one is a scripture reading. We're going to read out of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 19. It's the New Revised Standard Version Update Edition. This is one that you'll be, most folks, I think, will be somewhat familiar with. Hear now these words. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, his decrees, his ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you are certain to perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess them. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I am setting before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. May we have blessing and understanding in the reading of those words. I also want to read a little excerpt from James H. Cone's book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree. Maybe you're familiar with the book. In it, he says this: the real scandal of the Christian faith is the assertion that the human being is free. Free to love, free to resist, free to stand with the oppressed, even when the world says otherwise. Faith is not a submission to fate. It is the courage to live in defiance of systems that crucify, to love boldly, and to claim one's sacred worth in the face of every structure that denies it. We get you to do another song for us. Love it.
When I survey one of my thoughts.
Today we're going to continue in our summer sermon series based on the book that I'm working on, The Sacred Undoing, Faith Beyond BS. Today's sermon is entitled, Predestined or Just Presumptuous? So let's start with the obvious. Few things mess with your head and your heart faster than the idea that before you even took your first breath, the divine had already decided your eternal fate. Saved or damned, chosen or cast out, no matter what you do, no matter how you live, God already stamped your spiritual passport. And you just have to live out the trip. That's the core of the dogma called predestination. Now, it shows up most famously in certain Calvinist traditions, but let's be real, it creeps into all kinds of Christian spaces, often without people even realizing that they're buying into this concept of predestination. You've probably even heard it in phrases, wrapped up in phrases like, God's plan can't be changed. Everything happens for a reason. God knows the beginning from the end. Now, at first glance, that all sounds kind of spiritual, comforting at times, but look closer. The implications, they get dangerous real fast. The traditional version of predestination goes like this. This is the traditional way of understanding it. Before the world began, God selected some people for salvation, called the elect, and others for damnation. And they are called, and I kid you not, the reprobate. The choice wasn't based on merit or action or belief or love. It was predetermined, immutable. Your free will, that's theater. You're either chosen or you're not. And for those not chosen, the reprobate, no amount of faith or good works or love can alter their fate. And of course, for the elect, salvation is just inevitable. They got it going on. First, let me be perfectly clear about that dogma. It is not from Jesus. Jesus never preached predestination. He preached love. He preached liberation. He preached radical inclusion and justice. The earliest Jesus followers lived like love and choices mattered. Because they do. The predestination doctrine was sort of turbocharged by theologians like Augustine and then a little later by John Calvin. And it wasn't so much about biblical stuff as it was about their personal philosophical hang-ups. And much less, as I was saying, about the radical justice-oriented ways of Jesus. See, Augustine, burdened by his own struggles with the desire and control, leaned into theological determinism as a way to explain suffering and human frailty. And then a little bit later, Calvin comes along, centuries later, and systemized those particular ideas, embedding into them doctrines that often prioritize divine sovereignty over human dignity. But their personal interpretations say more about their own personal worldview than about the open, participatory love that Jesus preached about. Because even within our own Reformed tradition, as members of a PCUSA church, we end up wrestling with that tension. Predestination exists in our history. It does. But so does a deep, evolving understanding that God's grace is expansive, that human agency matters, and that our collective work for justice, well, that's part of the sacred story. I mean, the Hebrew Bible alone, the Hebrew Bible filled with calls to choose justice, choose mercy, choose community. Prophets reminding us in it that our actions matter. Covenants are built on mutuality then, not out of some puppet strings of a greater divine being. And you know, even Paul's writing, where a lot of folks kind of find in their minds predestination language they cherry pick to get to, Even those are misunderstood, because you see, when Paul speaks of the elect or those God foreknew, he's actually sort of just riffing on their communal identity. He's not suggesting some rigid individual faith that God has predetermined. He's wrestling with the divine mystery, but he's not erasing human freedom. You move on to things like queer theology, liberation theology, process theology, all of them have echoes that basically say this: love unfolds, creation evolves, we are participants, not pawns. As the Reverend Packard Chang reminds us, I read from last Sunday, Reverend Chang reminds us, queerness itself challenges rigid boundaries, social, theological, otherwise. Reminds us that the divine shows up in fluidity and in disruption, in the sacred refusal to be boxed in. Because here's the truth. A God who is obsessed with control isn't love. A God who strips suffering isn't just. A faith that tells you your choices don't matter, that's not good news, that's gaslighting. And the gospel, the actual good news, is a lot better than that. And the harm for predestination, it does. It runs deep. Predestination theology doesn't just harm individuals. It shapes entire systems. When people believe that their fates, that what is going to happen to them, that their outcome, that their fates are sealed, the drive to dismantle oppression tends to kind of wither away. Why protest justice if it's all part of God's plan? Why stand with historically excluded communities, queer folks, women, people of color, if their suffering is simply divinely designed? Let's tell the truth. Doctrines like that have been used to prop up white supremacy, prop up patriarchy and colonial violence, enslavement justified as God's will, gender roles enforced as if they're heavenly dictated, queer folks exiled from faith spaces under the guise of divine order. When we believe that only the elect deserve dignity, the church stops being a place of sanctuary and starts being a tool for exclusion. Predestination becomes theological cover for Christian nationalism, where power gets baptized and oppression hides behind pulpits. And it gets personal. Imagine being told your identity, your body, your dreams have already been judged as unworthy before your first breath. That's not faith. That's cruelty dressed up in orthodoxy. Predestination theology breeds apathy. Predestination theology breeds apathy. I mean, why work for justice when the story's already written? Why love boldly if outcomes are already fixed? It fuels spiritual elitism. If you believe you are chosen, humility dies. If you believe others are doomed, compassion dies. It weaponizes faith. Turning salvation into a sort of exclusive club with insiders congratulating themselves and outsiders getting left behind. It crushes hope. Imagine being told your pain, your identity, your struggle were prescripted for the divine glory. That your suffering serves some sort of cosmic blueprint. Now we see this play out in policies and pulpits and personal relationships. It justifies inequality, it deflects accountability, and it sidelines marginalized voices. It whispers, Why resist? Why protest? Why try? Because if God's already wrote the ending, what's the point? We see this in history and in headlines. The theologies of predestination have been twisted to defend slavery and colonization and segregation. They justify turning away migrants, silencing women, including and excluding queer and trans folks from pulpits and pews. Now, Christian nationalism loves that script. It loves that script because when you believe you're chosen, empire feels ordained. But when we follow Jesus, the real justice-seeking, boundary-breaking Jesus, we know love refuses to fit into those boxes. But here's the thing. Jesus preached something radically different from that. He didn't say the elect will inherit the earth. He didn't say that. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, the merciful, the justice seekers. In other words, your choices do build the kingdom. They're not predestined. As we heard in Deuteronomy, we are told from God, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings, choose life. That's not a rigged game to me. To me, that sounds a lot more like an invitation to participate. Over and over, the scripture lifts up human agency. Moses confronting Pharaoh, Ruth choosing solidarity, Mary saying yes to the impossible. These aren't pre-scripted puppets in these stories. These are co-creators with the divine. And not only that. Process theology reminds us that God isn't a puppet master. God is the evolving pulse of love woven through creation, coaxing, not controlling, beckoning, not bulldozing. The divine moves with us, adapting and inviting, responding. Love's dynamic, not domineering. The sacred story unfolds in relationships with creation, where freedom and agency and possibilities are real, and where those very choices that we make matter. We are co-creators, partners in shaping justice and community and liberation. Our freedom terrifies the systems that thrive on control. That's why predestination theology still lingers. It keeps people compliant, unquestioning, and afraid to believe in the power that they actually hold. But here's the truth. Love isn't afraid of our freedom. Love thrives in our freedom. So, your story isn't pre-written in ink that can't be smudged. Your voice matters. Your choices matter. Your resistance to oppression, your embrace of joy, your acts of love, they shape reality. And that's sacred. We're not predestined. We are profoundly free to love, to grow, to disrupt injustice, to expand boundaries of belonging. That's not presumptuous. That's courageous. So let me say this directly so nobody misses it. You are not a pawn. You are a participant. You are a co-creator. This story, your story, our story, is not over and has yet to be written. Love's not coercion. Love is invitation. So let's live like our choices that we make ripple. Let's believe love is still unfolding. Let's reject spiritual fatalism and proclaim the good news. You are not a pawn. You are a participant. You are a co-creator. The story isn't over. Your story is not over. Our story is not up. Okay, can we get you a place to stop? Thank you.
This is Parish Lord Jesus.
May we sit with the discomfort, the holy tension, the possibility that life is less about predestined paths and more about sacred participation. We can tell stories that shrink the divine, stories that shrink us, told that God micromanages every moment, that our fate is sealed, that some are chosen, some are cast aside. But deep down we know better. We've seen love break through the cracks of rigid systems. We've felt grace refuse to follow the rules. We've tasted freedom that doesn't need permission. So today, may we remember we are not pawns in some cosmic game. We are participants in a sacred story that is still unfolding. Our choices ripple. Our actions matter. Our resistance to oppression, our stubborn hope, our imperfect, beautiful acts of love, they shape reality. May we dare to choose justice. May we dare to choose community. May we dare to believe that no one is outside the reach of dignity or worth. We've been handed scripts that says empire wins, that control is holy, that suffering is designed, that freedom is dangerous. But we know love better than that. So let us rise as co-creators. Let us live like the story isn't over. Let us lean into the sacred risk of love, unmanaged, unboxed, undeniable. And may we leave this space not with easy answers, but with courageous hearts, choosing life, choosing love, choosing to believe that the world changes when we do. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other and in harmony with creation, recognizing that we are one And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with each person you meet. David?
Can you Google up that? Thank you.